This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number three of VSiN Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Bebfe alongside Will Hill. As always, make sure to check us out, VSiN.com/watch, the VSiN Watch app, and you can listen to us live on Sirius XM channel 158. I'll tell you what, Will, thank goodness for the Chicago White Sox outfielders. They're making nice plays for us in this first five under 4.5 bet that we got here. Our VSiN Primetime game of the night. Yankees, White Sox, we're on the first five under. First inning was not kind to your boys, but since then, we're looking all right. Still got some work to do, but at least we're trending in the right direction, which is all we can ask. We will also get to some National Football League a little bit later on this hour, but joining us right now to discuss Major League Baseball, we got the trade deadline coming up 1 week from today. It is the professor, our VSiN teammate, betting analyst, Aaron Moore, joining us via the Progressive Guest Line on Twitter at PubRelationProf is where you can find all of his work. Aaron, thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday evening. I know you wrote up on VSiN.com, and we encourage everyone watching and listening to check out your article on both AL and NL Manager of the Year. We'll get to it in this interview, but I got to start off with what we saw earlier tonight as it pertains to the NL Cy Young. Zach Wheeler, not the start many thought that he had in mind out there in Miami. The Phillies are winning right now 6-5, but over at FanDuel, we saw Wheeler as low as 7-1, now 16-1 to win National League Cy Young. I know you're invested, and that's not to dance and like make fun of you or anything like that, but it's just, how are you feeling as someone invested in Zach Wheeler? And maybe is now the time to perhaps buy a little bit of more Zach Wheeler now that he has drifted a little bit in the market.
Femi, I ain't feeling too good after what I saw with Zach Wheeler today. I played him at 30-1 last month. And this follows Sanchez pitching last night against the Yankees. Didn't really look that good. And there was kind of the door open because of Mizorowski had the great five innings, but they took him out after five innings. Mm-hmm. I think that plays into this whole idea. Can this guy pitch at a Cy Young award level throughout the rest of the regular season if he's only going to go five innings? So things were really looking good tonight for Zach Wheeler. As you said, it got down to 7-1. They're playing the Marlins, 12-game losing streak. Boy, Zach Wheeler just did not have it. He got hit around pretty hard in three innings, was giving up the long ball. So I really don't feel good about it. And I don't necessarily know if I would double down and take more of Zach Wheeler, because if Jacob Mizorowski pitches five innings, but he strikes out 10, 12, a crazy amount of guys, it's going to be difficult to go against him, regardless of the amount of innings. So Sanchez and Wheeler, they had an opportunity. Boy, both of these Phillies failed the last two nights.
Aaron, the line on Ohtani to win NL MVP keeps coming down and down. There's Ohtani versus the field offered at DraftKings. Boy, if he doesn't pitch and he still wins it this year, I just think there's a sense of, you know, if you're going to give it to him this year, you're just going to give it to him every year. And I'm not sure the voters want to do that. So I think there's an opening for somebody else to take it. I don't know if PCA is that guy. I'm not sure if the Nationals guys can get in the mix. Schwarber, you tell me. But what's your handicap right now of the NL MVP race? And is there a bet to be made?
Well, I think, yeah, these guys are in play right now from the idea that the big favorite, who was at as high as minus 800, I saw him. He might have even been higher, Ohtani, for NL MVP. So these guys are somewhat in play, but I'm not necessarily looking to back any of them. You have to look at Chicago with PCA. Do you give the MVP to a wild card winning team that maybe they should have challenged more for a division title? So I think that's a little bit of a strike against PCA. I would not take either of the Nationals players. I just don't think they're going to make the playoffs, and it's going to be hard with both of them possibly cannibalizing a vote. And I think you would just rather, if you feel that these guys are really in it, bet the Nationals to make the playoffs, and you take away that subjectivity. Schwarber, I would not back him. I don't think he's really looked that good since the All-Star break. There's talk that he was a little bit tired from the home run derby, All-Star game festivities. So, Will, on one hand, it's open. But on the other hand, I don't really think I want to go against Ohtani. And at this moment, you have to think about it's his performance as well as then the subjectivity. These voters are going to have to all of a sudden say, wait, wait, wait. Earlier in the year, we were saying this is possibly the greatest baseball player of all time, but now we're not going to vote for him for MVP. So I think there's a little bit of a disconnect there. It's open, but at the same time, I really don't want to go against Ohtani.
Yeah, I find myself in the same playbook. And in fact, I'm just hoping that PCA keeps hitting home runs and we can maybe get a better price. That's what I'm hoping. If we can get Ohtani minus 200, minus 175, I'll be showing up to bet some Shohei Ohtani. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebefe, Will Hill, hanging out with the professor, Aaron Moore, our VSiN teammate, betting analyst on Twitter at PubRelationProf. You wrote today or earlier this week on Manager of the Year, American and National League. I want to start with the American League because the Red Sox have been the story of July in Major League Baseball, and their interim manager, Chad Tracy, is he a guy that could potentially win this award? I mean, Kevin Cash looked like the guy. Rays, surprising with what they've been able to do. But this Red Sox story, and it's Boston, it's starting to take hold of the entire country. Or is there another person that we should be thinking about for AL Manager of the Year? How do you kind of handicap that market?
I mean, what I put in the article was, I think it is a two-man race at this point. It's Will Venable, who dropped down to plus 105, the leader in the on the board right now, the Chicago White Sox manager. He was at 130 for a while, then it went down to 115, so now it's down at 105. There's interest in Will Venable. Obviously, if he can turn this team around, last place team for three straight seasons, if they can get into the playoffs and in that division, I don't think that takes a lot of heavy lifting. So Chicago gets into the playoffs, it's really going to be hard to beat Venable. At the same time, Chad Tracy, you can get him at plus 750 at FanDuel. He's clearly in the race, similar to what Don Mattingly has done in the National League. It's the same story with Chad Tracy, somebody taking over a very struggling team in April and putting them back into playoff contention. Now, once again, I think if you like Boston, I would take the subjectivity out of it and just bet Boston futures to make the playoffs and whatnot, because obviously these awards take subjectivity of the voters looking at different factors. And I do think the White Sox make the playoffs. I don't think Cleveland is going to give them enough of a fight. Minnesota is in the race, but here we are talking about the trade deadline, and I don't necessarily know how many of those Twins are going to be Twins next week. I think the White Sox get into the playoffs, and if that's the case, it's going to be really hard to go against Will Venable, because the White Sox, just think about what we were talking about recently in the last couple of years, this is a downtrodden franchise. They've got no hope, but then all of a sudden, Venable, I think, gets him into the playoffs this year, and I do think he gets AL Manager of the Year.
How about the National League? I still think my guy has legs. The Marlins guy has cooled off. When you lose 42 games in a row, it's going to be hard to win Manager of the Year, and that's basically what the Marlins have done. Don Kelly for the Pirates, to me, is a guy still under the radar. You can still get a pretty good number. That team is never good. They've been losers forever, haven't made the playoffs in forever, and they still got a shot to get in the playoffs. If they can get Skeens back to Skeens, which I'm not sure is the case, I like Kelly. Do you agree, disagree? Who are you looking at here in the National League?
Well, Will, I'll still go with Mattingly. He's the favorite, and I still take him. I wrote about him in the article. I've played him a lot in this field. But I do think Don Kelly's into it. Clayton McCullough was the second person on the board. He's still the second one on the board, and that's why it's interesting to look at these future awards boards. The Marlins have lost 12 straight games. They might even lose 13 tonight. The Phillies are making a comeback. There's no manager is going to win Manager of the Year if his team loses 12, 13 games, because no team has made the playoffs losing 12 games. So I think Clayton McCullough is out of it. I do think Don Kelly, the Pittsburgh manager, is in play here. But if I had to say, it's between him and Mattingly. And a lot of the times we talk about Will narratives as it relates to futures and awards. I just think Mattingly has the upper hand in the situation. The Phillies were 9-19 when he took over. The Pirates coming into this season, there was some expectations, especially with Skeens, that this could be the year they make the playoffs. So I think the narrative
really works in Mattingly's favor, and this is something I used in the article for VSiN.com, just think about how many times you hear media people refer to Don Mattingly as Donnie Baseball. Yeah. There's a reverence for this guy. There's a lot of talk, wow, he should be in the Hall of Fame. I just think the voters like him. He's a very affable, likable guy. I think that works in his favor. And if it is between him and Kelly, you can get Mattingly at plus 290. I still think that's a very valuable bet to make.
Final 45 seconds here, Aaron. Where's Tarek Skubal pitching on August 5th?
Femi, I came on about last month, and I threw the wild card out there. I think it's Milwaukee. Because of the Brewers really have to hit the accelerator to get into the playoffs, which they should get into, but advance in the playoffs. Skubal being a rental player works perfectly in Milwaukee's favor. The Brewers are playing great. Pat Murphy is doing an outstanding job once again. And the Brewers, who like to cut costs, can get Skubal and not have to pay him a long-term deal. I'm going to go wild card here. I think he goes to Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee right now plus 900 to win the World Series. If only we've seen the Milwaukee Brewers go out there and get a big-time pitcher as a rental before in the past. Shout-out to our guy, CC Sabathia. He is the professor, VSiN teammate, betting analyst, Aaron Moore. Join us here on VSiN Primetime. Aaron, good luck with the bets. We'll be sweating alongside you with you with those Manager of the Year bets, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to you.
Awesome. That is Aaron Moore joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. And hit him up on Twitter at PubRelationProf. And make sure you read all of his work at VSiN.com. My Mets, man. They're swinging that thing. Let's go, Mets. 8-3, bottom of the seventh. We'll also get you caught up on what's going on the South Side with our VSiN Primetime Game of the Night between the Yankees and the White Sox. All that and more when we come back here on VSiN.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, the baseball gods giveth and taketh away here on VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebfe, Will Hill, here with you guys on this Monday night. On the positive for me, Mets have the bases loaded in the bottom of the seventh with an 8-3 lead on the Atlanta Braves. I'm on Mets money line full game there. So Bo Bichette at the dish, see if he can do some damage with one out. And then on the negative, White Sox have a 3-0 lead in the top of the fourth. The Yankees have loaded them up. No outs. So, yeah. Will, that's how things are going on the South Side.
None of us want to lose, but it's the way you lose where it's like, all right, we finally got back on track. It's 3-0 after an unfortunate first inning. 3-0 top of the fourth. We're probably a coin flip. 1.5 runs to play with, 2 innings. You know what? Schultz looks settled. Schultz looks good. Fried settled in. We're in decent shape. Walk to lead off the inning, another walk, and then a ground ball, which off the bat to me looked like, you know, Taylor made double play. The shortstop was shaded towards third. It goes up the middle, and instead of being a double play, it's a base hit. Volpe is now going to hit a ground ball. He's thrown out at first, but a run scores. It's 4-0, and the other runners advance. So we will now require a miracle to somehow win this bet. 4 runs are in. 1 run beats us. You know, if you can somehow get a strikeout or a pop-up without the run advancing, you keep hope alive. But this is going to take a lot for us to get this one home. And again, could take losing. It just feels like this one deserved better. It's just a lot went against us here.
I'm sure a lot of people out there watching and listening have been in these situations. I mean, everyone's been in betting baseball, right? Like we always talk about that. And it looks like Schultz is done. A pitching change. I mean... Do you just walk the guy, like intentionally walk the guy, put him on first, and go for the double play here? Like, I don't know if the White Sox are going to play it that way, but like that's kind of like...
Nah, too early in the game. Usually you don't just add runners that much like that this early in the game, just because that's the go-ahead run, too. Now a double, and you're losing if it clears the bases, so probably not.
I'm thinking selfishly, just for my own bets. That's all I'm thinking about. I'm like, how can we get out of the inning with just one batter? Put a runner on first. Let's see how this rolls. All right. Well, pitching change. So they're going to take a break there, which can at least distract us and go elsewhere in Major League Baseball. The Phillies are up 7-5 in the top of the ninth, hoping to add some insurance. Marlins in danger of losing a 13th straight game. Like, this team 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Miami as like, oh, maybe they could be like that sneaky team, you know, like, could they get into the wild card? Could they be a buyer at the deadline? What happened to this team, man? Hey, this is unbelievable.
It's amazing how long the baseball season is. We say it all the time, but a team like the Red Sox, double-digit games under 500, then they can't lose for a month. The Marlins can't lose for a month. Most wins in June, start out July hot. I think their last win, I'll have to look, July 8th, July 9th, and they had a long winning streak, and now they can't win a game, and they're about to lose 13 in a row, a game where they had a 5-2 lead. So, yeah, to me, I think if you're the Marlins, I'll pull up the standings in a minute. I think they're playing themselves into sellers. We haven't talked about it. I don't think they'll be sellers because they won a miracle game. Not a miracle game yesterday. Your Mariners, boy, I don't trust any of these pitchers. I know Gilbert, Kirby, they're all supposed to be so good. Anytime it's a big spot, Kirby today gets lit up. You know, Gilbert, you put him in a big spot, you can just guarantee 5 innings, 4 runs. Jeez, I mean, that's a team. They won yesterday. They kind of saved their season. That's over-dramatizing it. Texas had a chance to bury them with a 4-game sweep and really take a commanding lead. Texas still gets 3 out of 4. You're probably not selling if you're Seattle because you're right there. You're only, what, 3 or 4 games out. But, man, it's hard to have a lot of faith, a lot of confidence in that Seattle team. So some of these teams are just, you know what, it's these problems work themselves out, and you think, should I buy, should I sell? The answer is right in front of you. And even if you're right there, if you're some of these teams, man, it's hard to picture that, you know, you're a real contender. That being said, you are right there, and it feels wide open. But, you know, the Mariners, which we didn't talk about, that was a big game today, a big win for Texas. Mariners, the Marlins, some of these teams – really playing poorly going into the deadline. And the Tigers are another one where, boy, you're really going to hang on to Skubal. You can't beat the Royals. You're losing to the Orioles. So a fascinating next week or so here, lurking here in Major League Baseball.
You mentioned the Mariners. Like you look at the Wild, they're 2 games back.
I know.
So as bad as it's been, they're 2 games back. So let's play this game, because like of these teams that have kind of been reeling a little bit in these leagues here, and I want to go full league standings, go American and National League. So, obviously, you have the Guardians have not been playing well. They've lost 5 straight. The Mariners are doing their thing, just kind of hovering around a little bit. The Yankees, at some point, are going to get their guys back, we think, at least. Like, Judge, Bellinger, the Cavalry's going to come back. Garrett Cole can join Fried and Schlittler. You know, like, that team should look really good. National League, you know, Miami's just been horrendous recently, as we just outlined. The Padres are trying to catch fire a little bit, but I think that they might be a little bit too late. As I think that's it for us and the Yankees. White Sox.
Just forget it.
Yep.
Thank you. Yankees tie the game.
Was it our good buddy Jazz that did it? Yep. Our good buddy Jazz Chisholm. All right. There we go. At least we don't have to worry about that one anymore. All right. So it's 3-3 between the Yankees and the White Sox. Yes, we are getting a little dramatic about this. This is not our first bet nor our last bet, but it's just like when it's happening in real time, it just hits different. Everyone's like, "Oh, you never lost a bet before."
This one hurt.
The people that tweet that nonsense, like you act like you this is your first bet you ever lost. How about you do a national radio show and talk through losing money? All right, like it's not fun. I can tell you that.
No.
So, like, no, it is not the first bet that I've ever lost. It might be the first bet I lose tonight. But it's just the way it happened as we're doing the show, it's not very fun. That's all I'll say about that.
Plus, there's probably somebody out there that tailed us, at least one person or two people. And, what would the alternative be? We come on here, we lose a bet, we lose money, we give out a losing pick. Say, who cares? We lost. There's exactly. Plenty of games. I think the audience, you want us to feel about it. They can relate a little bit to the pain. And look, we bet we're betters. We're lost. This one hurts. It's a little different. It is weird when you're on the air and you don't really doesn't register as much. And then after you're like, man, I'm kind of pissed. I lost that.
Yeah.
And sometimes you go through the thing when you're on the air of you bet a little bit more. You bet a game you wouldn't when you're on the air. But man, that's whatever. On to the next one. As Bill Belichick would have said. Now, Bill Belichick, obviously in the news today, indirectly, on to Cincinnati. So we're on to the next one here.
I thought you were going to give us Jay-Z for a second there on to the next one, but you went Bill Belichick, we're on to Cincinnati. Although in Cincinnati, I guess they can't play baseball. The Reds game was postponed, so we don't have that to look forward to. But yeah, UNC Chapel Hill, you know, some stuff going on over there. I what are we supposed to say? I don't know.
Nothing. You can handle it.
I'm good.
You can give your opinion.
I'm actually good. I don't need to give my opinion about anything.
Is there, you know what? We brought it up.
Is there a betting application?
Should we be betting UNC under wins? Is there the disaster potential of, you know what, somehow this blows up on Belichick? There's reportedly NIL and NCAA violations. I don't even think you could violate NCAA rules anymore.
Yeah,
there weren't any rules to violate. Is it possible Belichick doesn't make it to week one and then all hell breaks loose and they're an under? It's 4.5. 4.5 is plus money. Boy, five is not that many wins to get to, but has that crossed your mind? What's your take on the UNC situation?
What could he have possibly done to like not make it to week one, though? You know, like in today's college football, it would have to be something just like criminally vile to not make it to week one.
Or they say, you know what, this isn't working. This just isn't working. It's just time. I don't know. I'm just, it's crossed my mind. I don't think it's likely. I don't even know if it's possible. I mean, it's definitely possible, but it just crossed my mind that UNC says, you know what, this is a disaster, a PR nightmare. Let's just, you know what, let's all move on. I don't think that's impossible. Do you?
No, I don't think it's impossible, but I just don't think UNC wants that like negative like press run like right now, you know, especially like it's like, okay, people can have their jokes on Twitter and everything like that. And people like want to dunk on them because, of course, everybody doesn't like Belichick from the Patriots and how much winning they did. And like our guy, Michael Lombardi, who was our former VSiN colleague, you know, I did the GM Shuffle podcast with him. Like, he is also a very polarizing person as well on Twitter, because like, you see what you get with Lombardi. Like, you're going to know where you stand with him. He's not going to be hiding or anything like that. So like that puts off some people really like him, find him endearing. I don't think they're gonna just completely like abort mission here, as we're a month away from week zero and they play a game in Ireland. So like, yes, I guess they could like have like an interim situation, but I don't think they're anywhere close to that. Like, this was a pretty big swing by that University of North Carolina and that athletic office as well to go out there and get Bill Belichick. So they're at least going to see it through to this year. Now, if it's another bad year this season, all right, they probably make a change. But right now, no, I don't think that would happen. In terms of their season-long win total, I would actually be more inclined to bet the over, not because of this news, but just because like they're more likely to have their players in-house now, and maybe they have a better feel for this college football landscape. But I think the news in college football can sometimes be a little bit noisy and less signal, just because we don't get as much as we get like we do in the professional ranks.
Makes sense. We got 3 minutes out of a segment out of it, so it's all we can ask for.
Yeah. You know, like I know like people have been tweeting at me like, hey, like what do you think and all that stuff. Like, that's honestly what I think. Like, I don't know what happened. I'm just like you guys. Yeah. Like, I see the same tweets. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, you know, right. I'm not the investigative journalist here. I just talk about sports, you know? So, like everyone else out there, I'll be watching, I'll be waiting, and I'll see what happens. But from a betting perspective, however you felt about UNC when you woke up Sunday morning should be the same the way that you felt about them when you woke up this morning. We'll be back with more VSiN Primetime on the other side. Oh, by the way, the Yankees now have the lead.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason is only a week away, a week from Thursday, and this is your last chance to lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next week. Get instant access to our NFL betting guide covering futures, win totals, division races, and player props. Then, on August 3rd, you'll get our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from VSiN experts. You'll also get, I mean, we're just keep tacking on all these goodies for you guys, aren't we? The Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, featuring over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. Get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl before the price goes up on Saturday. Get it done. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. The Yankees appear to be getting it done, Will, as this is VSiN Primetime.
No, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. Do another read. We're not talking about that game. Do another read. Circa documentary. We don't do that one enough. VEASAN 175, whatever, anything. I don't want to talk about the Yankees.
Should I tell you about Winner Circle Proxy? Should we do that one?
Winner Circle Proxy. Give them a shout. Anything, please.
The Yankees have a 4-3 lead in the bottom of the fourth in the game that will never end because for some reason we just kept walking everybody. But that's all I'll say about that. That's all we need to update because it's no longer a bet that we can win. It's our primetime game of the night. Just wanted to
Manscaped.
Update.
Do we have a Manscaped ad to read? Come on.
I hope you like to do some landscape or some manscape. Right, you can just go ahead and make sure you're all trimmed, nice and tidy down there, fellas. The New York Mets are they're also playing some good baseball. So yes, there's some negative. There's also some positive, and also there is news. We are finally underway in St. Louis here. Will Cubs and the Cardinals? Pete Crow Armstrong at the dish, Liberatore on the mound. The Cubbies are going to be having David Peterson out there when the Cardinals are up at the bat. I do have a bet in this game for those of you just joining us now. We talked about this at the top of the show when we thought this game was going to be played much earlier. Rorty tarps off out there in St. Louis. All right. Well, I do like the Cubs first five on the money line. This is just me backing David Peterson. I think he's a little bit underrated. And I'm saying this as someone who's been like a big David Peterson hater the last few years. I think he's a little underrated tonight. So I do like the Cubbies on the road in the first five. -114 and Pete Crow Armstrong, he's garnering a lot of MVP conversation, a lot of chatter. I'm curious to see what the MLB.com poll will say about this MVP race because that poll's coming this week. They did the Cy Young one last week. They haven't done an MVP poll since the end of June. So now that we're at the end of July, the poll is going to come either tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. I think Ohtani is still going to be leading that poll, but it's going to be much closer than what we've seen that poll look like the last couple of years.
By the way, developing situation, Marlins and Phillies.
Whoa.
Phillies led 2-0. Wheeler on the mound. You figure, you know what? You're in good shape. You got Wheeler a 2-0 lead. Marlins have lost a million games in a row. Miami storms back. They light up Wheeler. They score 5 runs. They're up 5-2. Then Philly runs up 5 in a row. They're up 7-5. Looks like Philly's going to win the game. But right now, bases loaded, bottom of the ninth. Nobody out. Marlins down 7-5 with the bases loaded. 1-1 pitch is inside, but it's going to be a challenge. I think it's going to be a successful challenge.
Yep,
that's for Alberto Hernandez. That ball is inside off of the plate. So instead of 1-2, it's going to be 2-1. So what do we have for a live line here? Because Duran's tough. You've got the tying run on second. You got to figure Miami's
favorite.
Let's see.
They're -133. Philly's even money.
And again, remember, when the ball is in play, when it's not a commercial break, the apps are usually a pitch or two ahead of you. So this is going to be another ball in a 3-1 count, which is going to affect it. Marlins move to -127. Over-under is 13.5. The under is heavily juiced. Is there a bet to be made here? Do you think Philly can wiggle out? Is there value on Miami, or is this just a stay away here? Important game, too.
Yes, I would guess that Philly holds on to win this one because I think Miami just – this losing stench has been – just something else. They're gonna find a way to lose this game. So like maybe they get like, let's say like maybe Duran gets a strike. He gets a strikeout here. Maybe he walks the next batter to make it 7-6, and then like they'll ground out to end the game on a double play. That's kind of how I see this unfolding.
Oh, he swung at ball 4 on 3-1 too.
I don't know.
It should be 7-6, bases loaded, nobody out. Hernandez swings at a ball over his shoulders. That would have been a run, an RBI, and you still would have had the bases loaded. Then you would have been a monster favorite. Now it's a full count, and it's going to be tough for Hernandez. But based on the line here, I think something's good is about to happen for Miami.
As it's a line drive
up the middle, a base hit, 1 run scores, 2 run scores. We have a tie game. It is 7-all. And it is now... Let's see, did the runner on first go all the way to third, or is he still at second? But either way, Miami tied the game, and they might end this losing streak in emphatic fashion here. A huge base hit by Hernandez, who just swung at ball 4 a minute ago, would have had an RBI. But you know what? A 2-run single is even better. And first and second, nobody out. Miami now -450 favorites, over under 15.5. The under is heavily juiced, -279, over 15.5. Basically, if you think Philly can get out of this, over is probably a good bet at 15.5 going into extra innings, but Duran has his work cut out for him now. 7-7. He's faced 5 guys, and every single one has reached base.
I mean, how about that? a 12-game losing streak. Bienvenido a Miami. Like, let's go, Miami. Our guy, our VSiN colleague, Joe Serralo, is in Miami for a vacation. I don't know if he went to this game. I highly doubt it. But
I mean,
don't you? Looks like they are bunting. Yep.
Edwards bunts. It's safe. A good bunt. The throw to first, he beats it.
Yeah, he beat it.
It was a really good bunt. It was kind of a sacrifice bunt. It wasn't straight bunt for a hit. It was a tough play. He beats it. We'll check the replay. But if this is bases loaded, nobody out, this is a major trouble for Philly here, as they are now plus 700 to win the game. Is that enough for you to take a shot? So you know what, Duran can get a couple strikeouts here, a strikeout, a double play, and then you got 7-1. Is 7-1 enough for you on Philly, or are you throwing money away?
I think you're throwing the money away. Now, if he didn't beat the throw at first, I'd be like, okay, like maybe like you could see a scenario where like somehow the Phillies force extra innings towards like, okay, at least right. You have a really nice size ticket in your pocket and like what is like probably like a coin flip scenario. But the fact that its base is loaded with no outs still, I mean, this would be a pretty brutal series of events if the Marlins can't get something across the plate. Like just get the ball and play and you win, as long as it's not a pop-up. You know, like
just, ground ball though, the infield is in. So if you hit a ground ball and an infielder, they're coming to home right away.
Yeah,
so
I guess that's the case. Yeah, like they'll scoot in.
It looks like something's going to happen because that plus 700 is down to plus 299.
Ooh,
a ground ball first, Harper Fields. Wow. He comes home. The runner is out. So now it is bases loaded, one out.
So
and now you're just one pop out, one strikeout, one ground ball away from possibly, you know, at least putting yourself in position to get out of it. I kind of wish I took the plus.
I was going to say, do you wish you have it? Because, like, I mean, like, you still do need to get the two more outs.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, yes, plus 700 is now down to plus 290, whatever. Like,
yeah.
That's a significant dog still to get to extras. I mean, who's at the plate? I don't know. Like, we're not putting this up. Griffin Conine. So he's at the plate. He's their number six hitter. I mean, just like fly out, do something productive, and it's game over. Miami wins.
Yeah.
So like, I don't have
a hit by pitch. There's so many ways to win, but
now if he strikes out, then yes, I'll have bet regret not having 7-1.
Yeah.
But like right now, as it stands, I don't have any bet regret for not betting Miami at plus 700.
Yeah.
Because I feel like oftentimes in that scenario, you are burning money. Maybe it works out this time as it's he swings and misses at a knuckle curve. To make it 1-1.
Duran has filthy stuff, though. That's the thing, though. He, as bad as he's been tonight and like the first seven guys reach or whatever, he's a guy who can strike out the next three guys on like 10 pitches without even blinking. His stuff is that good. So easy to say now, of course, but I do wish I pulled the trigger on that one. Plus 316 right now for Philly, minus 468 on Miami. The 1-1 pitch is fouled off. So now it's 1-2, and now you're away from getting out of it. Or not getting out of it, but at least being in a position where it's two outs and then you need a hit.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like, this is, whew. If Philly can get, this would be pretty rough for Miami, man. Like, you got this losing streak, get the bases loaded, nobody out, tie game, and if, man. All right, let's see what happens here on the 1-2 pitch.
It'll be a 1-2.
Did that get over?
That'll do it. Base hit.
Yeah, there you go.
He just line drive into right field, just over the reach of the second baseman, and the losing streak is over, and it ends in dramatic fashion. I can't imagine what Miami was entering the ninth down two runs with Duran on the mound, probably a good 7-8-1 themselves. Yeah. But Miami wins 8-7, a wild one there in Miami. Wow.
I think I saw Philadelphia minus 4,000, Miami plus 350.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
I think that's what I saw. The biggest price, honestly, and I think I checked that in like the seventh inning or eighth inning, I think it was like plus 585. I'm assuming the ninth inning was much higher than that, but you never know,
right?
With some of this stuff. But shout out to the Miami Marlins for getting it done, snapping the 12 game losing streak. They walk it off. Griffin Conine's first career walk off to do it against Duran in this Phillies team. That's a hell of a night, man. They're celebrating that one down there on South Beach, so good for the Miami Marlins. Also good for the New York Mets, because while we were talking about that, Lindor hit a home run. It's like 14-3 Mets now, so that's going well. And also, the Cubs up 1-0 in the top of the first. Jared Smith's Yerfy hits, and I'm on the Cubs money line, so I'd like to see that in the first five. We will get you updated on some more scores from around Major League Baseball. Not the Yankees-White Sox one, though. We're done with that game, but we will be back on the other side. We'll be right back.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Winner's Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that will put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest for free. One winner will receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor, and another will win a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. Both winners will also receive a full-season Winner's Circle Proxy service, a VSiN Studio Tour, which I may or may not be present for, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd for your chance to win. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. And if you are here in a couple of weeks, maybe you'll see Will Hill. Aren't you? You're coming to Vegas, aren't you? Aren't you coming to Vegas? Like, what,
next from now, I'll be there.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Our guy, he'll be out here in Vegas doing it up, you know? Are you going to be a part of the Bet Bash festivities, or are you just signing up? Like, what's on the dock? What's the itinerary looking like?
Yeah, I think we're doing a Bear Bets podcast from Bet Bash.
Hell so yeah.
That'll be fun, and I guess I get to just, you know, poke my nose and see what's going on.
There we go.
And see some of you guys, which will be fun, and it's supposed to be hot there. I don't know if you've checked the weather,
I did.
August in Vegas, hot. So I'm bringing a weather update here, but it's supposed to be warm, so probably can leave the jeans and the hoodies at home, et cetera.
Yes. This weekend, I think we might be getting towards record territory. I saw the newscast at like 116. Johnny Avello, I think you might have stepped away when he first came on during the break. I think he said it might get to 120. So just prepare properly. Just come ready to roll. Pack light.
120. That's a real temperature. That's a real number.
It's a real number, man. Real number. Yes. It's tough out here in these Vegas streets. It looks like the Buccos, that's also real. They walk it off in the 10th. Pirates 3-2. Over the Diamondbacks that game. I didn't even see who walked it off. Who is it? Is it Low or Lau? One
looked like Brandon. I can't. These guys don't know how to spell or pronounce their own name. Lau or Low. I always get it confused with Brandon Low.
It's
L-O-W-E.
Yes, it's one of them. Because there's like three of them, but like two of them are brothers and the other one's not. And it's like a different pronunciation. I never understand.
I'm looking up right now.
It's like, come on.
I'm looking up awards because I have some conviction here. Boy, Don Kelly is still plus 800 National League Manager of the Year. Mattingly and Philly, they just lost. Mm-hmm. Man, I know they'll probably make the playoffs. If they don't win the division, is Mattingly really going to win the Manager of the Year for being a wild card? Everyone knows that Philly team had talent.
He's not winning.
McCullough for Miami's plus 350. They just had a 12-game losing streak. They probably have to make the playoffs. Yeah. Pat Murphy for Milwaukee's plus 460. What are we going to give it to him every year? He is third year in a row. I don't buy that. Marmol for St. Louis plus 600. Weiss for the Braves plus 700. I think Don Kelly for Pittsburgh plus 800 is a good bet. I'm surprised some of those names are ahead of him. Agree or disagree with any of that?
You know me, if I disagreed, I'd tell you. I actually agree wholeheartedly. It just seems a little strange that the betting market is priced this way. The Phillies thing was a story like 6 weeks ago when Mattingly took over. They started winning games. Look at the Phillies. Now the season's so long, I don't think there's still as much wow, Phillies and all that stuff kind of as like an excitement
they're
point
good every
in baseball.
Year.
Yeah, they're good every year. Like that's the part with me. Miami, you outlined it. Pat Murphy, I mean, if he wants to go for the trilogy, that would be pretty damn impressive. That would really put to bed all the voter fatigue stuff when it comes to baseball awards.
Yes.
We would have to say you are not allowed to say the phrase voter fatigue if they give Pat Murphy a third consecutive manager of the year. I don't see how that's even possible. Hell, they could win the rest of the games this season. It would still be ridiculous if they gave him that award. Which leads us all with Don Kelly at plus 800. I agree with you. What's the price for Pittsburgh to make the playoffs? Like, let's see here. Over at
it ain't plus 800. I know.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. It's probably, there's no way it's plus 800.
Yes, is probably a slight plus price.
Plus 225.
So
FanDuel has plus 225.
More than I thought.
So this is something that you got to factor in. You know, like plus 225, you would get it at the end of September, early October, or you could wait for the plus 800 to get it like the week before Thanksgiving. Because these baseball awards, it's something you must factor in. They wait forever to announce these awards. Oh, yeah. So do you want to tie up your money? Right. Quite literally the week before Thanksgiving is when we start to find out who wins these awards. You take out the voter shenanigans and the subjectivity out of it. If you just bet them to make the playoffs, I think I would go big bet plus 225 playoffs. And then half unit or a unit on plus 800, I think is how I would attack the Pirates. If you have conviction that Don Kelly can win this award. Like, because they have to make the playoffs for him to do it. And then also just have a little bit on that one. Because I think the rest of these stories seem flimsy at best that are at the top of the odds board.
And I don't think St. Louis hangs on. All right, Walt Weiss, the Braves manager. Okay, great. You win the division. We'll assume they win the division for the sake of this.
The Braves
all right, you had a bad year last year, got hurt. That's another team. They're good every year. They won the World Series. I guess it's 4 or 5 years ago now. That's crazy. But they've been the onesie. Like, this is not like the Pirates are never in the playoffs. The Pirates kind of came out of nowhere to some extent. The market did like them. The Pirates are the better story. Kelly, to me, that should not be plus 800.
Yeah. But that's the thing is that, like, the market likes them. But did the people who cover baseball, like, was everyone saying that were they the hip, trendy team to be like, oh, like, they'll make the playoffs this year? I know everyone's like excited, like Skeens and the other young pitchers that they have. And maybe there was a little bit of excitement, but it didn't seem like they were like the super duper trendy team from the traditional baseball media. It was more so like bettors, because like we're factoring in the odds. It's like, oh, like, look at this price on the Pirates to do this, to do that, et cetera.
And just picture in your head, just visualize, you know, late in September, whenever it is, the Pirates win a game to clinch a playoff spot.
Yep.
What is that like? How big of a story? How much does that, oh my God, like that. I remember that when I had, it was Dable for coach of the year in the NFL, where once they finally got in, the Giants were so bad for so long, that becomes the story. Like, that's just, to me, if the Pirates make the playoffs, that goes like that. That's all of a sudden right on the radar. Like, I just think it'll, that line would move so much, and then it would be clear as day. Yeah, of course the Pirates make the playoffs. Of course their manager is going to win manager of the year. I'm surprised that's 8-1. I think that should be more in line with, all right, you can't make it exactly what the playoff price is. Otherwise, you just bet the playoffs and there's no purpose. 3-1, 4-1, it should not be quadruple the price.
Yeah, 2015 was the last time the Pirates were in the playoffs. Like that pop is what you want. Like, that's what's going to, and like
the wild card round too.
And like, that's the thing is that, like, the Dable, when he won coach of the year, cause like they were obviously like the hot team in September and October. They hit some skids in November or whatever, or at least early December. And then they finally clinched to beat the Colts, which was like a tanking Colts team. And people were like, is he really going to win? Yes, he's going to win because they made the playoffs. Like, you got to think about the totality of it, not just how he did it, just the fact that they did it. Cause like, the Giants were bad in December, but the people still went back to Dable once they got that pop. And then you see the footage of him getting like the Gatorade bath and the guys are excited. And it's like, New York is back in the playoffs. Look at the G-men. Like, that's how it kind of unfolds there a little bit. Like, what's that pop going to be like? And that's what you want. You know, I'm so glad you brought that up. Cause like, that's such a great way to think about these bets. What do I need to happen? And if that happens, what's the reception? What will be the reception if the Pirates make the playoffs? It'd be pretty damn good. Jeff Passan will be tweeting about it. Nightingale will be tweeting about it. Everyone's tweeting about it.
Yep. And the Pirates have been such a losing franchise. I know you got your phone in front of you. Google the last time the Pirates won an MLB, a playoff series in Major League Baseball. The last time the Pirates won a series, you're going to be shocked. If you don't know this this number, oh my goodness. Wait. I think it's 1979.
Yeah, so now this is AI overview, so, you know, slight grain of salt here. You never know with some of this stuff. But it says the Pittsburgh Pirates last won a multi-game playoff series, is the caveat. Multi-game playoff series in the 1979 World Series. So you hit it right on the head. 1979 World Series, they defeated the Baltimore Orioles in 7 games that year. 1979. That's insane.
So they've been there a few times. That's the thing. If you get their manager to get them back in the playoffs for a team that's been this inept, the owner doesn't spend money. It's kind of a marquee franchise that's just been dormant. There will be such a narrative for him to win. I know I'm rambling about it, but plus 800, I think it's a great bet.
Will's rooting home his ticket. No, but like, I actually agree with you. I agree. Like, I think that he should be shorter than 8-1. And I more so like betting the plus 225 because I know I can get that money in late September, early October, but also putting a little bit on the 8-1 for Don Kelly to win NL Manager of the Year. Real quick, AL Manager of the Year, Venable is the favorite. I don't even know what the score is. They're in commercial break between the Yankees and the White Sox. But Venable's
four all,
great. Plus 105 is Venable. Kevin Cash, I mean, like, the Rays were not expected to do anything this year. They have the best record in the American League. Could he pull off a Pat Murphy and steal this award? Or do you think that the Venable with the lovable loser White Sox making the playoffs and winning the division, that kind of carries him home?
If the White Sox win the division, man, that's a story that's hard to beat. I mean, their win total was 65. I know it got bet up a little bit, but that you can pretty much send that one in. But if you don't think they're going to make the playoffs, they somehow fall out of it, which is, you know, possible, then that opens up for cash or for whoever else, the Red Sox manager, who knows?
Yeah, and like the cash one is so tough to bet because it's plus 250. Like if cash was like 10 to 1, it's like, oh, okay, like I can dabble. But because the Rays have been such a big part of this story for the 2026 season that like you're never going to get him to drift out to that range. I don't buy it with Tracy and the Red Sox. I think that's a story in July. In like 6 weeks, I don't think we're going to be talking about the Red Sox. Maybe I have egg on my face. I don't think I will, though. That does it for hour number three. Hour number four, VSiN Primetime, when we come back.